All right, we're continuing our series in the book of Philippians. And so if you want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles there to Philippians chapter 1, we're going to be in verses 12 through 18. And so we're going to continue on with this journey through the book. And the book is all about any circumstance we find ourselves in, we can find joy. It's about finding joy in the journey, finding joy in any and every circumstance as we follow Jesus. Jesus is our ultimate joy. And so that's what the book of Philippians is really all about. And we're going to dive right into the thick of this book in this first chapter today. It's really going to maybe be a challenging scripture, because it's all about Paul in prison and saying that he's finding joy in prison. I don't know about you, but I don't know if I would find joy in prison. And so we're really going to have to wrestle with this text of, why does Paul find joy in prison? Why do his circumstances not set him back, but really set him up for growth in the Lord, the advancement of the gospel, and joy in Jesus? So that's what we're going after today. So I'm going to go ahead and read this for us first, and then we'll launch into explaining this text. Philippians 1, starting in verse 12. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. But the former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Honestly, only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. So it's a little bit like this, okay? Who is willing to come up here, kiddos are allowed, and do 10 jumping jacks just for the fun of it? Anybody? Anybody? 10 jumping jacks? Okay. All right. Okay. One, two. Come on. Come on. Come on. Go ahead. All right. Parents, be counting. We want to make sure they're doing it correctly. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. All right. Good job. Good job. Okay. Now, hold on. Hold on. Before you leave. Before you leave. Come back. Come back. Anybody who did it. Anybody who did the work. Who embraced the suffering of jumping jacks in the heat, and you just were sweating. You now get a ring pop. You get a ring pop. You get the joy of the reward because you did the work. Okay, just one. Sure. Anybody else want to come up and do it? Anybody else? Parents?
Good job, good job.
Hey.
I know. Do you want to do the ring pop?
Just go to Greg.
Hey, Tennis, do your jumping jack.
All right, here you go. Okay. All right. So Titus just, it's okay. You don't have to do it, buddy. It's all right. And I'll tell you why. Everybody get one? Everybody get one? All right. Okay, that's all, but I can't give you more. Your parents would be mad.
Landry. You did great.
All right. So here's the deal. No one in their right mind would just come up and do 10 jumping jacks in front of everybody. In front of everybody for no reason, right? There should be a reason why this happens. It's not just like, oh, I'm going to go make a fool of myself. I mean, kids mainly don't think that way. Maybe it's just me. I think that way. But it's this idea of embracing something, not just for no reason, but for the joy, for the reward. Did you notice that once somebody came up here, then there were a lot more to follow? Did you notice that once the reward or the joy was discovered, we had a whole other slew, right? And then there were some who didn't even embrace the suffering, but still received the reward, but still got the joy of what was experienced, okay? That's what we're gonna see in the book of Philippians. That's what we're gonna see in this chapter. I'm gonna walk through this verse by verse, and I want you to see verse 12. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Paul basically says, I want you to know that even though this may be really challenging, even though you may see that I'm suffering, even though this may be, these circumstances aren't ideal, I want you to know that this really is about the advancement of the gospel. It may appear like things are really hard and sad and really difficult, but really what's going on is God is in control and he's advancing his kingdom. The circumstances around us don't have to really be what's going on. What I think is really interesting about this is in Acts chapter 21, Paul knows that he's going to be in prison. Paul knows that he's going to be launched into prison, and yet he still chooses to do it. He knows that he's going to be going to kings and going before judges and year after year in prison, and yet he still chooses to do it. He says this in Acts chapter 21, verses 10 to 14. While he was staying there for many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea, and coming to us, he took Paul's belt, and he bound his own feet and his hands, and he said to him, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him to the hands of the Gentiles." When we heard this, we and the people there urged him not to go up to Jerusalem. Please, Paul, don't go. Please, don't go. Don't embrace this. Then Paul answered, "What are you doing? Weeping? Why are you breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." And since Paul would not be persuaded, we ceased and said, "Let the will of the Lord be done." All of the community around him was saying, "Please, Paul, don't do this. Don't do this, man." And he says, "God has constrained me. Why are you breaking my heart?" He says it further in Acts chapter 20, that God has constrained him, that he needs to go. He needs to embrace this so that the gospel will advance. What I want you to see in this is Paul is telling the Philippians, "Hey guys, I want you to know that even though this doesn't really seem like it's a really good situation, it's really the best thing that could have ever happened." It's a change in reality. It's a switch of perspective. The setback, the challenge, is actually the opportunity. The difficulty is actually something that we enter in and God's kingdom is experienced. The Philippians didn't know this. They were grieved. They were saying, "Man, Paul, I'm so sorry you're in prison." He's like, "Hey, I want you to know this is really good." Yeah, exactly. It's really, really good. It's advanced the gospel. And so I work with people in counseling a lot with this. And one of my favorite phrases is, "Not everything is as it seems." Not everything is as it seems. Usually when we go through our story, when we process through circumstances, when we're confronted with a situation, everything isn't really as it seems. Because we think about the motives of others, we think about where they're coming from, and we interpret it through our own lens. We see what happened to us as a child, and we don't understand what our parents were thinking or experiencing or going through at that time. Not everything is as it seems. Does that negate the difficulty of it? Does that negate the challenge of it? Does that negate the suffering that maybe we experienced? No, not at all. Not at all. Paul says, you're breaking my heart, man. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you went through that. I'm sorry you had to experience that. But you know what? That may be God's opportunity to advance the gospel in your life. I'm sorry you've had to go through COVID. I'm sorry you've been lonely. I'm sorry it's been a challenge. But maybe, just maybe, it's God's way of bringing about his kingdom in the lives of others and in your own life. It's a change of perspective. I want you to know, not everything is as it seems. Setbacks are setups. They're opportunities to step into the gospel for yourself and others. Verse 13. It has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. Paul makes crystal clear to everyone around him why I'm here. Everyone knows, the whole imperial guard, all the rest, everybody else knows, I'm here for Christ. We're going to see this over and over in this text. Paul's identity, Paul's whole being is wrapped up in not just his circumstances, not just in his name being proclaimed, but in Christ. So he would say, I make this decision because I'm following Christ. Because I want Christ to be declared. And this declaration that Paul is making to the guards is not just, I hope they see my deeds and I hope they know that it's because I did it for Jesus. He says, he's made known to them that it's for Christ. He has said it so that all of the imperial guard are not only hearing it from him, but all the rest, we don't know who that is, but it seems like maybe their families, maybe the other guards who didn't have contact with Paul, maybe the Roman pontiff himself knows that Paul is there for one reason, and it's Christ. So my question for you in that is, do people know what you do and why you do it? Do people know what you do and why you do it? Do people, first off, do you do what you do because you're following Christ? Are you so wrapped up in who Jesus is that I just do what the Spirit constrains me to do? And then are you willing to say that to others? Not just hoping that they're going to pick up here or there. Oh, yeah, maybe I go to church, or yeah, maybe, you know, I kind of like to talk to Jesus sometimes. But do they know why you made that decision? Do they know it's for Christ? He's made it clear to everyone. And this is where this gets really good. Verse 14. Most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Did you catch that? It's not just about Paul in this passage. It's not just Paul and his own relationship with God. It's not just Paul and his own journey with Jesus. Paul sees what has happened to him as a setup for everyone else that he gets in contact with, believer and non-believer. The believers are encouraged. They grow in their confidence in the Lord by my imprisonment. They grow in their confidence in the Lord by my imprisonment. This term, confidence in the Lord, is what Justin talked about last week of our progressing in the gospel, our progressing in our relationship with Jesus. This is the journey of what it looks like to become a follower of Jesus, is you grow confident more and more and more in the Lord. When I started following Jesus, I wasn't super confident in the Lord. I wasn't bold to speak the word without fear. I I needed someone to come alongside me and give me some confidence. I needed to see another life and say, hey, how did they deal with those circumstances? Oh, and God was faithful in that? Oh, and it actually turned out good? And oh, there's actually joy that can be found in the midst of that? I wasn't confident in that. I questioned God's goodness. I questioned whether he was in control. I questioned whether all things worked out for good. I questioned whether it was a joy to embrace hardship. But I had to see that in the lives of others, and then I had to embrace that myself. People can't do it for you. You notice that it says most of the brothers, not all. Not all of the brothers were growing in their confidence. Not all of the brothers were growing in their boldness. Some were. And those ones were encouraged by Paul's circumstances, encouraged by his faith, encouraged by his zeal and passion for Jesus, that it propelled them in their confidence and growth in the Lord. So first, it's knowing. They know why he's there. They know that the circumstances aren't really what it's all about. And then in that, they grow in confidence. They grow in who God is. They grow in what God declares. And they grow through community with others who are experiencing those things, who have experienced things before them. And so now, it's not just Paul declaring, but it's the people who he's encouraged are more bold to speak the word without fear. I love that again, because it's not just like, oh yeah, I'm just going to live a Christian life and never say anything about it. They grow in their boldness to speak the word without fear. Why are we so afraid to come up and make a fool of ourselves doing jumping jacks? Is it making a fool of yourself? Absolutely not. It's actually really good for your body. You should try it sometime. It's actually this reality that when we grow in boldness, when we aren't necessarily constrained by the thoughts and opinions of others, we don't necessarily hold on to what others are going to say about us. And that's exactly what Paul says in the next passage. He says, some indeed preach Christ from rivalry. And further, he says, they want to afflict me. They have a low opinion of me. They don't really care for me. They just want to make my life worse. But there are some that are encouraged, and there are some that are more bold, and there are some that are declaring, and there are some that are they're growing in their confidence. And either way, whether they hate me or they love me, I rejoice because Christ is proclaimed. And that's the only thing I care about. Paul saw the circumstances of someone disliking him, speaking against him, defaming him. That our culture, especially in terms of social media, of someone speaking things against me is extremely offensive. Is there grief in that? Is there sorrow in that? Absolutely. In God's kingdom, will that ever be? Thank the Lord, no. But in this kingdom, the question is, what is our joy going to be? Is it going to be in the joy of others? Is it going to be in the opinion of others? Or is it going to be in the advancing of the gospel of Christ? Here's the question is, for Paul, he would say, I get to know more of Jesus in this circumstance than I ever have. I get to know more of Jesus in these hard circumstances than I ever have. He says this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. For his sake, for Jesus' sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. I'm willing to be bound. I'm willing to have my name dragged through the mud. I'm willing to embrace really hard circumstances because I know in all those, I'm going to know Christ more. We live in a culture today that especially in this time, there's such lamenting. There's such sorrow about the isolation, about the challenge, about the sometimes the parenting, the loneliness, the health risks that people experience. And all those things are real. They're valid. I don't diminish those things at all, because the Bible doesn't diminish them. And it actually says believers experience those things, and it's really, really, really hard. But what we learn from this is maybe, just maybe, not everything is as it seems. The setbacks, the challenges that we face on a daily basis may actually be opportunities for me to grow in my confidence and boldness in Jesus. My question for you is this. I've been doing a lot of podcasts, and so I always have to like come to a conclusion. It's becoming innate. My question for you is this. Have you been growing in your confidence in Jesus in this season? Have you been growing in the boldness of the goodness of God's kingdom in this season? The kids came up here because there was a joy, there was a reward, there was something that they got to embrace. Same is true with us in our relationship with the Lord. I'm willing to go through something, I'm willing to engage in something if I get more of Jesus. Is that what you say? Or is it, I don't want to go through that, and if I don't get more of Jesus, that's okay. Paul's fascination, Paul's joy, Paul's overarching, it doesn't matter what happens, because I know what happens, God is in control of, and in that very circumstance, I'm going to know more of Jesus, and that is my joy. So setbacks and challenges are not what they seem. Sometimes they're God's hand of growing us in confidence, growing us in boldness, growing us in opportunities of tearing some things away from our comforts so that we know more and more of Jesus and his kingdom. Let me pray for us. Jesus, you are the great reward. Jesus, you are the great joy. Jesus, you are the ultimate prize. Jesus, who you sent, the Holy Spirit, is the greatest comforter. It's the greatest guide. It's the greatest friend. It's the greatest mentor. It's the greatest helper. And Lord, in this season, you're teaching us that. Whether we've loved this season or absolutely hated this season, you are teaching every single one of us what it looks like to grow more and more and more in love with you as our joy and as our prize. Lord, I pray that just wouldn't be something we believe, but we actively pursue. That we engage with deeply to the point that we would be able to say, I will embrace anything and everything because I get more of Jesus. I'm not scared. I'm not afraid. I don't have to run. I get to embrace where I'm at because, Jesus, you were there. Lord, I pray that you would be my prize. I pray that you would be our prize. That we would love you with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. And that the cry of our hearts would say, worthy is the Lamb, holy is our God. You are our prize forever and ever. May we believe that. May we grow in that, Lord. Help us in this season grow in confidence and in boldness in you, we pray. In Christ's name and for his sake, amen.